Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. I'm your host, Heather Kelly. Today, we're talking about scams, and it's just me today. I'm going to give you a heads up on a few of the scams I see, which I know plenty of you are seeing the same things, but I thought I'd describe them in case people see this in their email and don't realize immediately that it is a scam. These will be things that pop up that come in as text messages and also emails, even phone calls you can get. The one that is most recent to me, it's a text message, and it says, "The USPS, that's the United States Postal Service package, has arrived at the warehouse and cannot be delivered due to incomplete address information. Please confirm your address in the link within 12 hours. First of all, I know almost everybody has heard, don't click on any links in a text message or an email. And this is one of the reasons you don't want to do it, because before I even read the full message, I knew immediately this was a scam, because the first sentence says, "The USPS package has arrived," and the phone number that this came from was HUDSONZGAGU@hotmail.com. The United States Postal Service is not going to send you a text message from a Hotmail address. That just doesn't happen. Plus, this Hudson Z Jagu name in front of the at Hotmail, that is just not a United States Postal Service address. Another scam that was very quick for me to identify was in my email. This was a personal email. And there were two different things that caught my attention immediately. And I've never even opened this email. I know it's a scam and I've not opened it. First of all, the font of this message came in looks completely different from all the other email messages I got. And it's really hard to describe, but it would be like, normally your font is Calibri size 12. And what came in was Times New Roman size 14. So it was bigger. It looked different. The font in it, you know, the letters were slightly different. But then I hovered my mouse over the person that it said it came from. It was actually said FedEx shipment. So you just hover your cursor over where it comes from. It says FedEx shipment in my case. And the address will pop up in a little pop-up menu. And this came from Britannia@live.co.uk. So this is a United Kingdom email address. Nobody is sending me anything from the United Kingdom via FedEx. And then the subject line is latest news on your shipment. So I knew immediately that this was a scam. So I've never even opened it, let alone try to see if there's a link in it. So that is going to be deleted. Once I'm done with this episode telling you what was on there, I am deleting this. But those are the best ways to tell immediately whether it's a text message or an email. Look at the address where it comes from. If it doesn't look normal, it's not. It's a scam. Just delete it. And if it's not a scam, the person who needs to get you will figure out a way to do it. I know the messages are meant to make you very concerned or even panic you if they're threatening in any way, but you need to take a deep breath. And the first thing you should do, whether it's in an email or a text message, is look at the address that it is coming from. I want to draw your attention to one more big scam that a lot of people see in their emails is getting one from supposedly Amazon saying you made a big purchase, or your purchase of $458.22 just went through and you know you didn't make a purchase on Amazon for that amount. And so immediately you want to click on their link inside the email, and now you've just given them access to a lot of your personal information. But if you look at the actual address, instead of saying at Amazon.com, it'll be spelled a little bit differently, or it'll be from a Yahoo or a Hotmail account or some other type of email service that is not Amazon. Or they'll spell Amazon incorrectly. It looks similar, but if you're just very quickly gazing through it, you won't recognize that it doesn't say Amazon. Maybe they'll have Amazon instead of Mazon. So things, look for things like that. Look for spelling errors in the address. Look for strange addresses. A lot of them are just a bunch of numbers in front of the at hotmail.com. Just 123816 Jeju type addresses. So those are the quickest ways to spot a scam. Now, if it looks legit, if it does look like maybe from your power company, I've gotten those too from Dominion Energy that says, oh, your bill is unusually high this month. We need to correct that. Please click on this link. Don't click on the link. That's going to be the overriding theme of this show, is don't click on a link. What you want to do is open up a separate browser window and look up the company name yourself, DominionEnergy.com, and go to their website and find the phone number and call them directly. That is the easiest way. And hopefully you're passing this on to other members of the family, especially those that may not be as technologically savvy, older generation. I know my mother just hated technology. I mean, she hated it with a passion. But because she hated it, she didn't deal with it very often, and it was very hard for her to spot the email addresses that were unusual or different or didn't match up with the company that it was supposedly coming from. So that's a good way. But you would be surprised. One thing I've learned in my research is that the younger generation, the ones who grew up with this technology, that they live on their phones, they live on social media, they are actually more likely to get scammed than any other portion of a society. So people who are over 55, they've acquired more money throughout their life. They have more savings, so they have more money to lose. So they're getting scammed out of more money, but less of them fall for the scams. Whereas you have the group that is 28 and under, like 16 to 28 year olds, you get about 60, 65% of them are actually getting scammed. It's just that they don't have as much money to give. So it sounds like older Americans in particular are more likely to get scammed, but that's not true. They're just more likely to lose a lot more money. So again, if you have teenagers in the house, younger kids, if you have older parents or grandparents, they're on social media because they have to keep up with, you know, keeping track of where their grandkids are doing, but may not be completely savvy, please send this on to them so they can hear about it, or tell them yourselves. That's the best way, to show them. Maybe you get a scam message, and if you show them what it looks like, that would be a really good way for them to learn what a scam looks like. Because I think that's the hardest thing is, you know, we all talk about, well, don't click on a link, but how do you know you're not supposed to click on it? So basically, when we say never click on a link, it's because you have other ways to find out if that message you received is correct or not. If you get the really scary phone call that sounds like your daughter or grandchild that says, you know, hey, grandma, I've been kidnapped, or I'm in jail, I need $5,000 for bail, hang up. I mean, I know that that is scary, but if that is true, they will be able to call you back. But what you want to do is hang up, or if you have a different phone or there's somebody else in the house who has another phone, have them call your child or your grandchild and just verify if that has happened. A friend of mine, this happened to, her grandmother got a call that said she was in a Mexican jail. And my friend did like to go to Mexico from time to time to have a little party. And she actually drove to the bank to get money out. Fortunately, there was a bank teller who was very savvy and had been trained and asked, well, you know, what is this for? And she says, I've got to get bail for my granddaughter. And they said, look, we really think this is a scam. Have you tried to contact your granddaughter? And she said, no. And so they said, let's come over here. Let's call her. And sure enough, they called my friend. And I just happened to be with her when this happened. And I could just hear her go, no, Grandma, I am not in Mexico, nor am I in jail. Please don't send money to anybody. With today's technology, with the AI that we have, it is extremely, extremely easy to mimic somebody's voice. All they have to do, these scammers, is call a phone number and the person on the other end answers, hello. The scammers maybe ask a couple of questions and the person responds with just a few words, no, that's not me, or whatever. That is enough. Hello, no, that's not me, is enough for a scammer to mimic your voice and create an entire conversation with it. If you get those scary calls, as scary as it is, as heart-wrenching, heart-palpitating as it is, you have to hang up or at the very least find somebody with the phone and have them call your family member and make sure that that really hasn't happened, because I'm going to guess it hasn't. Also, be aware, as this is tax season, you're probably going to get a lot of phone calls or email texts that, hey, something's wrong with your tax return. Just click on here, you know, or we're missing your Social Security number on your tax return, whatever it is. Don't buy those. The IRS will never text you if there's a problem. They will send you a letter in the mail. Once you open the letter, it should be pretty obvious it is from the Internal Revenue Service. And you want to read those letters very carefully, because the scammers almost always have typing errors or the language is wrong, that what we call the syntax. Because a lot of times, especially if the scam is from a foreign country, they don't always get the order of our words correct. So I don't know if you know, but when you learn French or Spanish, the way their sentence structure is in their language is they always say hair blue instead of we say blue hair or brown hair. They say the identifier of what color is your hair or your eyes after. So when letters come in, a lot of times the syntax is in that way as well. You can spot that a mile away if you read through the whole letter. And my biggest tip for anybody is literally take a breath. Calm down, especially if they say they're going to threaten you. Oh, the phone calls are the worst. Those don't happen as often anymore where you actually get a phone call on a landline. But a few years ago, I had just come back from New York City, coincidentally, and I got a phone call and it said it was from the district attorney of New York City. So it caught my attention because I had just come from New York, and they went off about how there was a lawsuit going on and I was going to have to pay them $259. And that started to sound fishy to me. I'm like, now, wait a minute. Now, why do I owe the money? And she said it was for magazine subscriptions. Now, little did she know, I gave up all magazine subscriptions in like 1995. I refused to pay for them, especially with the internet. So I gave all that up. I could just search for things. I had only subscribed to two things, TV Guide and National Geographic. Started to ask her. I said, well, what are the subscriptions? What have I not paid for? What did I miss payment on? And she said, O Magazine, which was Oprah's magazine. And so I knew immediately then it was a scam. And I knew it before then, but I wanted to try to catch her. And so when she said it was O Magazine, I was like, nope, you are a scammer. And I've never subscribed to O Magazine. You're lying. Please get a real job instead of trying to take money from other people. And then I just hung up on her. Now, just so you know, you should never actually engage a scammer on the phone. I did that just because it caught me unawares. And this is how scammers manage to convince people to send them money. They figure out some way to catch your attention, to catch you off guard. You're like, what? What? What happened? What? You know, my daughter's in jail or whatever it is. And so they get you. That's the hook. And then they figure out how to scare you even more or make you think like, yeah, no, I really got to pay this right now. Here's my credit card, or yeah, I'm heading to the bank right now. I'll send you a money order. But they find a way, and probably this scammer had seen on my Facebook page the pictures of New York. And so that is how they knew kind of what to hook me with. So the point is, though, the second she called and said she was a district attorney from the state of New York, I should just not said anything, hung up, found the number for the district attorney in New York City and called them myself and just asked, hey, are you trying to send a bill for me for any reason whatsoever? Because the reason you want to hang up immediately is a lot of times the scammers get money by being able to keep you on the phone for as long as they can. I'm not exactly sure of the mechanics behind the scenes, but they can get the billing. Like, you know, if you were to call long distance, you owed money. You would get a bill at the end of the month from the telephone company that said, hey, you owe us. Or kind of like data charges are now if you go over your data limit. But there's something that they can actually do that when you pick up the phone, they start earning money the second that phone clicks in. And if they can keep you talking, they just get more and more money. You don't even have to send them money. They get their money by keeping you on the phone. And they get more money if they get money out of you. That's why if anybody calls you on the phone, even if you're scared, you're nervous, it freaks you out, just hang up. Just hang up. They won't get money. Those are my biggest tips. Whether it's a text message or an email, always look at the address of where this came from. That's the first tip that you're going to find that this is a scam. You can just delete it. Try not to open these items. Sometimes you have to open a text message to figure out where the address was that it came from. Also, if you get an actual phone call, just hang up. Don't believe them. Even if it's scary, don't believe them. Please be on the lookout for them. Just do your due diligence on your own. I know it may take a few extra minutes to do that, but in today's day and age with Google and Edge and Firefox, if anybody uses that anymore, it is very, very easy to find out if what the person is telling you is true or not, if you even want to do that. I just know they're scams. I don't even look it up anymore. I just delete everything or hang up on the person. So saves me a lot more time that way, and it saves me aggravation too. So hope you all learned something from this. If you have any stories of scams that you've come across yourself or maybe family members, I'd love to hear about them. Please get in touch with me. You can email me at hkelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at ksl.com. Love to hear from you. And also, if you have any suggestions for any topics that I haven't covered, or maybe to go more in depth on some of the topics I've already covered, I would love to do that. I'd just love to hear from you. So let me know. Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.